Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Boy Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C. Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is the show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers are coming up, get them put on. We need the platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Witches.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow design. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content for you to get through. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
We
got
control, we
beat,
we fight, our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we show love to all you fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop, AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Tupac and B, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangs to grow. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chop about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. It's episode 648. Man, we got a true hip hop pioneer in the form of Chicago hip hop in the house tonight. You know, he's been on the show before. You know what I'm saying? EC Illa. We're going to bring him on. We're going to speak about 25th anniversary of Live from the Ill, iconic Chi-Town hip-hop release that really, you know, put a lot of shit on the map. And, you know what I'm saying, let's bring him on and chop it up about the history of, you know what I'm saying, his music as well as the history of Chicago hip-hop. It's one and only EC Illa. How you doing, EC?
Chicago killed a noise in the building. Prez, Murder Master Music Show, I am on you. What it do?
Man, huge honor. It's hard to believe 25 years ago you dropped Live from the Ill, you know what I'm saying, which was an iconic release, you know what I'm saying, not only for the city of Chicago, but for the Midwest as a whole. How did that album really, you know what I'm saying, take things to a whole different level from you and kind of, you know what I'm saying, jumpstart everything for a new direction for you?
Well, Live from the Ill, for those that are familiar with the discography, was actually the first not vinyl-only release. So the couple albums I had prior to that, however, there was a cassette on Invisible Man. My discography to that point was primarily vinyl. So Live from the Ill, 1994, you know, we were transitioning to try to make the move, you know, to bump in cars and not be dependent only on DJs playing us. So we were manufacturing CDs and cassettes, mostly cassettes, but that was also the first release manufactured on CD too. So I was aware at that point that we were going to try to make our way outside the region, you know, throughout the Midwest and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and another thing too, man, I really always credit you for this. You showed that white dudes could rap. You know, I mean, the Beastie Boys were dope. Don't get me wrong. I love them growing up. But, man, your lyrical content hit a whole nother level. You know, being white, how important was it for you to show that, you know, you could be just as lyrical as anybody else at that time, especially?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, there were other white rap artists that kind of paved the way for, you know, white rappers in general to be perceived as something unique. However, if I'm being completely honest, it was typically a pretty much a non-issue throughout my career. Even though I would talk about it and I would almost like make it an issue just via lyrically and some of the things I was touching upon from my own experience, you know, I can only connect it to just a certain level of legitimacy. And I don't say it egotistically. I'm just saying that I was an expert in rap, you know, as a fan. So I knew how to make rap music that was legit. And so luckily for me, you know, it really was not much of a topic throughout my career except when I would bring it up. So I don't really have many stories of you know, any 8 Mile-esque type of scenes where people were, you know, fighting for respect or whatever. I generally got a certain degree of respect, and I was able, you know, throughout my career to maintain it. So outside of that, that's really the truth and the answer. You know, there wasn't any some unique storyline behind it with regard to me being white.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you came out and you just did your thing. You know, and you, you know, after, you know, you dropped Live from the Ill, I mean, you started moving units, but then you came back the next year, you know, and dropped the Illa LP, and I remember seeing that in The Source and seeing that in Rap City, and I thought, wow, man, this dude's taking off, you know what I'm saying? But that Live from the Ill kind of propelled you, man. What was it like, you know, recording that? And, you know what I'm saying, when you were recording it, did you know you had something special?
Well, I mean, you are absolutely right with regard to Live from the Ill setting the stage for Illa LP. It basically was the prelude to Illa LP, and it allowed people to, you know, the average person with a tape deck or a CD player in the car to begin to enjoy my music and not just hear it on college radio for that matter, you know. So it was an intricate part of the plan. However, there wasn't a plan. You know, I was just an underground rap artist making underground rap. I think what ultimately differentiated me and allowed me to have a longer career was that I was as creative with the business end as I was with the artistry of making music. So I think that's where I really was able to cuff people and bring them along for a long-term ride throughout, you know, these decades, because I was always real mindful of trying to keep things interesting, not only to just make dope music, which, of course, is every artist's ultimate goal, is to make the best music you can make, but in terms of the process of how I was going to market it and how it was going to be perceived. It always was very important to me to put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and this is right, you know, before, this was a couple years before the big boom in Chicago rap, you know, the 96 boom, where you had everybody, Crucial Conflict, Do or Die, Twista, everybody blowing up big. You know what I'm saying? You kind of set the tone. Do you think albums like Live from the Ill kind of put a spotlight on the city of Chicago and told the industry, okay, man, we got some serious spitters over here?
I think I definitely played a role. You know, everybody was behind the scenes setting their own stage, you know. So I wouldn't take credit for what, you know, Crucial Conflict, for instance, was able to accomplish. But they were kind of outside, one of the few groups that was outside the Ill State relations. So between me and Trax, Legendary Traxler, that is, you know, from Seawall, we were having an effect pretty much and had our hands in a lot of things. I mean, when you think about it, Traxler basically produced the West Side, Triple Darkness, Snipers, you know, Do or Die, Twister. These were all, you know, Trax's beats. So while he was doing that, I was trying to have a similar influence on the hardcore hip hop side of things, and me and Trax were affiliated through the Ill State Assassins. So when you combined what we were both doing, it really was covering the entire city musically. So outside of Crucial Conflict, not that everybody wasn't responsible for their own success, of course they were, but you know, we had our hands in a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you did, and there was many, like, I'm glad you pointed that out, too. You had the hardcore hip-hop, and there was many sounds in the city of Chicago, you know, many different styles. It wasn't just, like, other regions and areas at that time, you could say, okay, this sounded like New Orleans, this is that bounce, or this sounded like such and such, but Chicago, you couldn't really put a cap on it. You know, it was just a melting pot of all kinds of different sounds. I think probably being in the middle of the map, that had a lot to do with it because a lot of stuff came through there. Chicago was a huge market.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, we were raised to be, you know, consumers, so the influence was coming from a lot of different places. I don't think it's coincidental, though, you know, that Jay Prince would ultimately come to try to snatch up these seawall groups, you know, like the Snipers, like Do or Die, and working with Trax. Because when you think about what you just said in terms of these kind of swirling influences, think about Houston and think about the fact that, like, UGK and Scarface, for example, are like lyrical gangster rappers, you know? So even though production-wise, my stuff was different because I was doing a lot of sample-based production. Really, in terms of lyrical content, there was some similarity there where, you know, you had some hard street shit, but there was a lyrical kind of hip-hop, for lack of a better description, East Coast influence, you know, a golden era East Coast influence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, now, prior to Live from the Ill, all your stuff was on vinyl. Here we are, 2019, you know, 25-some-odd years later. Vinyl's making a huge comeback. Did you ever anticipate that would happen? Because I thought vinyl was completely died off.
Well, the individual who put out my first vinyl, a dude by the name of Dirk VandenHeuvel, he used to DJ a rap show for Northwestern University. WNUR was the name of the station. And he remained in the vinyl game up until present day. So I was always seeing the market for vinyl through him. And the fact that we kept our relationship, you know, through these years, I was able to kind of see secondhand that it had never died. So I'm not totally blown away. You know, I'm a little blown away by, you know, the hipster element or the consumers that are buying it now, new vinyl. We're not talking about used vinyl. Of course, there's always a market for used records, but the fact that there's so much new music being manufactured on vinyl, I gotta say I'm kind of surprised by it. And the fact of the matter is, if we're just talking on a business tip, the markup is weak on vinyl. There isn't a ton of money to be made unless you really tax somebody for it. So, I mean, if you're going to do vinyl, you're doing it for the love, for real.
Yeah, for the collector. Now, you just dropped, you know, the 25th anniversary of Live from the Ill. You only did 94 copies. They were all numbered, right?
Correct, manufactured numbered. So it's like super official, you know. Not hand numbered,
wow.
Though I've had releases with hand numbering, and you know, I love to autograph, you know, these limited releases for the fans. We did it a little different this time, you know, to make it even more official. And the fact of the matter is, well, first of all, let me just say the reason we did 94 copies, rather, is in honor of the year of its release. So I thought that was a real unique idea when it was brought to me, that we would only do 94. So it just, of course, makes it extremely collectible. This is obviously for the fans because there isn't a ton of money to be made just by releasing 94 CDs. But it's been a whirlwind week. You know, it came out Wednesday. There might be a half dozen copies left, you know.
Wow.
Particularly for your international listeners, Prez, I want to make sure they get an opportunity to visit ecilla.com. That's ecilla.com. You know, and hopefully they can get their hands on them too, because of course, you know, the locals get wind of the information so quick that the majority of them were bought up. But there is a handful left, and you know, it's just such a beautiful release. I'm extremely proud of it. It's got Cosmo D from Nucleus did the intro for me on the album. We got some bonus freestyles, like classic 1994. Freestyles off college radio of me and the Ill State Assassins, Trackster, Mob Action, you know, so people familiar with these groups. This is like a serious history lesson, and the artwork itself is just amazing. So particularly for the international audience, you know, visit ecilla.com if you're able. Get your hands on a copy before these last few are gone. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it withstood the test of time, and you know, people, it's got to be on everybody's list. You know, like from the Midwest, not just Chicago, because it's one of those albums that really, you know, helps show out for the Midwest as well. I want to go to a break because, you know, then I want to come back and chop it up a little bit more. But you dropped a new song, 2019, Shoshana Tiller, man. Tell everybody about this one, man. This is a banger.
So my son, Dexter Skills, who is also a producer, has produced, you know, music for Psychodrama, Buck, and Side of Psychodrama. He did the remix for Triple Darkness, Too Crazy, which featured Do or Die and Crucial Conflict, Snipers. So he's always, you know, kind of trying to tap me on the shoulder to see if I might, you know, be interested in messing with a little something. And he had sent me, G Herbo did a So Chicago track. And, you know, when I heard it, I wasn't listening with any intention to do anything. But my son was like, you know, I think people would really be blown away if you would hop on this and just, you know, do some 2019 EC shit. And I was just in the house. I guess creatively it was flowing. Within maybe 3 hours, I had a verse done, and then I was like, oh, this verse is kind of hot. But I don't, you know, creatively, I'm like, do I bother going to the studio or whatever? Hit up my boy Dream Tech here in Chicago. He's the, you know, chief executive of Seven Odds. If y'all not up on Seven Odds, get up on it. That's really in the lineage of the Ill State Assassins, just hardcore Chicago hip hop. So anyway, I hook up with Dream. I lay the vocals, and then direct from Triple Darkness throws together a video. And within a week, all of a sudden, I got a new single that I didn't even know I was going to write the week before.
Wow. It just happened like that. Because last time you were on the show, I was like, you know, man, when are we going to get a new Isila project? And if I remember correctly, you're like, no, it ain't going to happen, you know, unless it's something that I bring out from the vault or whatnot. And when I heard this, I was blown away. I immediately thought there was a project coming, but this is just a single, right? Or do you have anything?
Yeah,
it's
just basically a buzz. Yeah, no, it's a buzz single, a one-off. Uh-huh. You know, just based. Ultimately, we ended up using it as a means of promotion for this 25th anniversary release. However, I will say, if you go to the website ecilla.com, there's a collector's bundle, and we manufactured CD maxi singles of the So Shy Tilla song along with three other cuts. So there's a 4-track CD that if you buy the collector's bundle, you'll get some brand new EC Illa. You know, and for those that's interested and been waiting on it, you won't be disappointed.
Right. You guys listening, you got to go cop that, man. 4 new tracks from EC Illa. And people, you know, I see people interacting with you. They're constantly telling you, man, make some new music, you know. And this is their opportunity to get it right here, right now. So, you know what I'm saying, go get that. Shoshana Tiller, EC Illa, will be right back. Don't go nowhere.
I only do this shit to show you I can do this shit.
Like a virgin, I'm purple rain thriller, bitch. North Pole, home of the killer, bitch. Young Pepe, roll easy, and the bitch nutsack heavy. What black Chevy? I ran this house, 88 fast Eddie. Roll through the icky blade thrust out of BK time, several time. Fuck you trying to tell me, little white boy on a motherfucking mission to put the city on and bring the whole shot with him. Even though I've been gone, y'all know my rhythm. Name still ringing about 4 or 5 prisons. Tabernacle, Danville, stay there. Could hop back in the ring, but I wanna stay still. When the whole game phony, homie, illa stay real. Coming with that white dope like I'm Nate Hill. First robbery at the age of 16. Had to get some money for them new Bo Jacksons. Crept on the street, blessed by the chiefs. New Yorkers used to say I had a funny ass accent. I said ditto, lit a cigarillo. 30 years strong, y'all ain't fucking with the kiddo. I live by the codes, the creeds, the little. Sleepwalking dummies keep their head on the pillow.
murk you, then we fussing at your widow. Put our pole to that hoe, motherfuckers know the benno. Old school shine, wild pitch do fine. Long time grind, you could hit a Tech 9. I remember hot shot summers, doing dirt in the hut, see ball pushing numbers. Me and K-Tone, keeping Herb in the gray G. Pocket time down, G, Herb was a baby. That's right, young buddy from the bloodline. You could bet money that I'm nutty when it comes time. It could get funny when it's muddy in the confines. Came through the holler, but you dummies only online. This ain't a Mac though, homie. It's the motherfucking crap though, homie. You can't get it in the app though, homie. But you sure can't get it at your back door, homie.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's EC Illa, Showside Tilla. That's so dope, man, to be able to hear that, EC, 2019, man. And I know your fans are real happy as well.
Yeah, the response has been overwhelming, man.
It's because the people want it and they need it, you know. And this is a great year. I mean, Schoolie D just get ready to drop a project. He just dropped a song with Ice-T. You know, I know you're real cool with Schoolie D, man. What's it like to see kind of like this resurgence of hip-hop?
It's beautiful. And, I mean, the fact is, the same label that is releasing my 25th anniversary, Big Herc Inc., is the driving force behind that new Schoolie D record and also released it on vinyl. So Big Herc, just coincidentally, is based out of Chicagoland area out here. So he was already doing these type of projects with Schoolie D and Raz Kaz and DJ Cash Money, Dos Effects, you know, just a whole array of golden era artists. So I'm blessed that, you know, he has had the interest, you know, to do business with me among them. And so ultimately it's like as if me and Schoolie D are label mates at this point. And it means the world to me, you know, to just have that affiliation through Big Herc, and I'm honored.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Big Herc, man, for upholding this hip hop shit, man. And doing stuff like that. If we could have more cats do stuff like that, it would be dope as hell. And I think more will as time goes on, cuz I think people are starting to say, you know what, man, I want this shit back. There's nothing like hearing a new Ice-T record. You know, there's nothing like hearing a new Schoolie D record. So, you know, it's dope.
Yeah,
to see.
There's definitely a market for it, you know, and I think it had been neglected, and I'm just, you know, proud to be able to tap into it, become one with the fans again every time I peek my head out of the sewer cap.
Yeah, definitely. And they're waiting for it. That's the dope thing, man. You built these fans over the course of the better part of three decades, this fan base. And, you know, they're loyal to you, man. You know, it's good to see. It's good to see. Just like the homie right now from France, Sin, I know he's got a couple questions for you. It's about 5 a.m. over there, but he wants to call and talk to EC Illa, man. You're on the line right now, Sin. How you doing, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, EC Illa.
What's up, brother?
Yeah, it's fine. Can you tell us about this song Obsessive representing on this famous album, Life of the Ill?
Obsessive representing was the was the outro to the Life from the Ill album. And I came up with the title there. You know, there isn't anything lyrically relevant to the title, Obsessive Representing. It was a you know, kind of an off the head freestyle outro to the album. But the reason I named it that was because on Live from the Ill, the majority of the titles had ill in the title, you know. So it made sense to me, you know, to call it that, Obsessive Representing, because we were just so fixated on getting the Chicago name and the Chicago sound out there that it was a bit of an obsession, you know, that I was pushing so hard, even when we would go on to the next album, do On Ill. or the album before it, Ill State of Mind. So as you can see within the marketing of all the albums, you know, it was a process to really get the fans to embrace the idea that Chicago hip-hop was its own thing. It wasn't just rap music that happened to be from Chicago, but Chicago had its own sound and its own vibe, you know. So we used our own slang, and we used, you know, I would push hard in the titles and in the lyrical texture, always pushing so hard for Chicago. So Obsessive Representing, that was the perfect title, you know, to end the album on. And, you know, a lot of people love that. And I actually, for those that are unaware, I made a mini documentary video about the making of Live from the Ill. It's called Dissecting Live from the Ill. Definitely look it up on YouTube. And I touch upon the creation of that song you asked about, Obsessive Representing.
Yeah, right. And also, who did the graphics on the album? And this was your ID of the graphics?
No,
the graffiti?
The artwork was done by legendary Chicago graffiti artist by the name of Slang, S-L-A-N-G. You know, for those that are interested in the artwork and in graffiti in general, you know, if you don't know about this man, you need to know about him. Of course, he was extremely instrumental and important figure in Chicago graph, but really in graffiti, period. So to have him do the artwork at that point, you know, I was just an up-and-comer, and as well as he was, you know, we had names in the city for ourselves, but he had been doing artwork for me prior to that. He did the Ill State of Mind album. He did my Ease Back EP. These were vinyl releases, so I had to have him do the cover. You know, I was always a huge fan of drawn art on the hip-hop albums, like Mantronic's Neil to the Groove, or... you know, there was just so many hand-drawn album covers back in the day. So I wanted to have one as well, and to have one that was just so Chicago to the core, I have Slang to thank for that. You know, and it ultimately went down in history. And when you see the 25th anniversary edition, it just looks better than ever, and it's been remastered. It sounds better than ever. So it's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing to behold, and I'm so proud of it. And a great deal of that is due in part to Slang's artwork.
Oh. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Thank you.
In Europe, a lot of people know about Chicago rap, but they don't know about E.C. Eras, Church of Brothers on the map. And we few to know this knowledge you had, and you are a pioneer. And it's a shame in Europe and even other countries, they don't know you. So you have to be recognized for your work.
Well, that means a lot. And I mean, although, you know, it's always smart for an artist to want to be embraced by as many people as possible, I do have, you know, a wonderful following, you know, whether it be Germany,
yeah.
Japan, you know,
yeah,
even
yeah.
Into Brazil. So there are people there, and they know about it. But always in my career, I don't want to say underdog, because I've been so blessed, you know, to really make a living off rap music and have these releases that are still relevant, you know, a quarter century later. So I don't want to ever, you know, look a gift horse in the mouth. But these international fans have been instrumental in me remaining relevant throughout the world and on the internet, you know, and as they discover it, it's like new music to them. So it's amazing. it's amazing to watch, you know, people in France and, you know, in Amsterdam and these different people who are finding out about it for the first time. And I'll get, you know, wonderful messages from them saying, oh, I'm so late to the game on this. I can't believe I didn't know about this. But then to watch them in real time, acquaint themselves with this music that I made so long ago and go through my catalog and just be so enamored by it, it's still, you know, holds a place in my heart. So while, of course, I'd like more people to know, I'm definitely grateful for, you know, all the fans in Europe and in Asia and in South America who represent, you know, E.C. Illa to the fullest.
Yeah, yes, sir.
It's a good global market. And like you said, a lot of the music is new to them. You know, and it almost seems like they appreciate it more than a lot of cats in America do nowadays, too.
Well, you got to remember, Prez, that it's brand new to their ear. So a
yeah.
lot of things, you know, that you love because they were relevant at a special time in your life. So when you grew up listening to whatever it was you were listening to, let's take Gangsta Pat, I Wanna Smoke. I love that song. And it was relevant. It was relevant to me at a certain moment in my life. And so whenever I hear it, I embrace it. But in America, we've moved on. That's old news. That doesn't mean it's not important. But there's so much that has happened since then. Now imagine, you know, a 25-year-old young man in Germany who is now working backwards to discover all this music that has come out from the States. And then discovering something that, yes, by date is old, but it's so brand new to his ear. You know, I can only imagine that it's like, it's amazing to them.
A group, Sniper, all them, they're real underground too, for the Europe too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely, man. Shout out to the Snipers, man. They definitely put it down. There's a lot of classic music in Chicago. J.D. Walker, so many. We can name so many. You know more about them than anybody, EC, because not only were you right there when they were all coming up, but you sold a lot of their music at the Tip CDs, man, you know, over the years, you know, as a record store.
I had a local record store that specialized in Chicago music. And, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that remember it fondly, particularly from the city of Chicago. You know, I used to just have people come from all over the map making road trips, you know, to come see about me and to come re-up on their collection, find CDs that they lost or couldn't find anymore. So the Tip, which was the name of the retail location, became real instrumental and me being able to have this beautiful contact with the fans, you know. So I'm very grateful that was a moment and for all the people that I was able to, you know, build relationships with via the store, the Tip CDs and tapes. That was real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Are you going to do more projects like this with some of your previous albums in the future? Like maybe next year do a 25th Ill LP something or?
Now, you know, it's funny you ask because, of course, I'm being bombarded with questions of that nature. And the answer is I don't believe so because,
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, okay, so next year I could do a 25th anniversary Illa LP. The year after that I could do a 25th anniversary Power Moves.
Keep going.
And then what happens?
Yeah.
So, right, four years from now I do a 30th anniversary Live from the Ill. Nah, man. So, you know, this is a one-off, and that's what makes it even more important for the fans to be able to grab this one of 94 copies because it is not my intention to continue to do this. I think the timing was right. I had some new music that could kind of coincide in a collector's bundle for them to snatch with this classic material that happened to be falling on the calendar of 25 years. So, you know, it was the perfect storm, and it came together. They're almost all gone, and this is the end of a pretty crazy week in pushing them and promoting the project. You know, got me back in my old ways. But no, in answer to your question, I don't anticipate anything like this moving forward.
Well, I tell you what, though, I respect you. You're very well disciplined, man, when it comes to when you come back with something, you know, and when you don't. You know, you're a true artist, a true lyricist, and a real legend and pioneer in the city of Chicago, man. Thank you so much for taking time out to come back on the show and speak about this phenomenal release, man, Live from the Ill, 25th anniversary, 12 copies left. Those of you listening, you better get them. You know,
I really appreciate you having me on the show. Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on the show. You know, love to all the fans worldwide, ecilla.com, ECILLA. Snatch one before they're gone forever. And prayers, I just want to say, man, God bless what you do for, you know, underground rap music, you know, and all these pioneers that, you know, some unfortunately have left us. Rest in peace, you know, Ready Red and just a great deal of people that you've that you've kept relevant and kept them out there, you know, when the otherwise may have went unheard. What you're doing is real important, and I am very grateful to be on the show tonight and to know you as a man. You're a good dude, brother. Well.
Man, thank you. That means a lot, EC. You know, been knowing you over the years. You've always been a real humble cat, and you're very well, just a very unique individual altogether, man. I never heard nothing bad about you. Everybody loves you. Keep doing what you're doing, and please come back with some more music. I know you got it in you. I know you got it. You know, I'm not going to put pressure on you. I know everybody is, but you know, hopefully we get some more in the future, man. You take care of yourself, my brother.
Be well, brother.
We're going to leave here with, you know, none other than Live from the Ill. You know what I'm saying? Go get one of them copies, man. There's only 12 left.
You don't have that guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me.
I don't think you're ready for
Chicago.
Live from the Ill. Because
I don't give a fuck where you came from.
Live from the Ill. I don't think you're ready for
Chicago.
It up like you never seen, making more moves than Beverine. I mean, if you had seen off the old school type, see the way you recognize the size of my hardcore height. The mic, mine, the right, my mic off if I wanna throw you off, so you won't fight mine. Night, the time is as good a time as any to battle, cause I don't sleep. I let you beat my new shit, and even if you did show, I knew you couldn't do shit. Who's get jealous of my place, level, status, baddest cracker that you ever seen. I've been trying to get a record deal, and you can still feel that I'm coming real. In 1994, hardcore and more, I've been believing cripple break dancing on the floor. That's how raw this shit gets when I flex. With some damn sex, and maybe you can rip next. Until then, yo, I even tell my children, you ever see that mark in his who killed them?
Low life, no lie, no lie.